things were. How have our educational institutions reflected the new realities, or are they not yet doing
they
that?
They have not yet.
In fact,
there is a major battle going on in archaeology.
I bet.
And the battle, it's the young folks versus the old folks. And you will actually see on some of the documentaries on this, some of the younger archaeologists make the statement that the best thing that can happen is if all the Clovis supporters, who they refer to as the Clovis Mafia, if all those people will just simply die. They say that would be the best thing for archaeology.
Well, but think about what you just said. In order for thinking to change in a field, everybody who's currently thinking out there has to die.
But those people that are thinking and are the ones in control of the money and the academic positions, and they're the ones that write the textbooks, and they just seem to refuse to change. They're angry.
Well, that's a pretty sad comment.
Boy, no kidding. It is. It's very sad. And I've been very irritated. I've spoken with several archaeologists in this book. One of them that I interviewed had taught at Harvard University for 30 years. And he might, in the course of an hour interview, I believe he told me that 7 or 8 times. And he had written things about Casey. None of those things were true that he put in a textbook. It's one of the most widely used textbooks in archaeology.
So what did you do, reduce him to tears by the end of the...
No, he was angry. He said, I don't believe a word you're telling me.
I see.
He said he'd read the Casey readings. And what he actually read was Edgar Evans Casey's books on Atlantis. And Edgar Evans Casey was Edgar Casey's son. And
yes,
it only says it like 20 places in the book.
I have interviewed him here, yes.
Yeah, but this guy, the archaeologist at Harvard... thought that Edgar Evans Casey's books on Atlantis were the Edgar Casey readings. And when I told him that, he just got angry.
I see.
And he said he didn't have time to check any of that out, and he said he wasn't going to change a word in his book.
But even with regard to what we now know is archaeological bunk, you're saying it's all still being held up and taught in schools?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move to Edgar Casey himself for a second. What can you give everybody who's not studied Casey an idea of what ancient America was like according to Casey?
Okay, according to Casey. Casey's history in ancient America really began around 50,000 B.C. or so. Casey said that there were people that came here from the continent Mu or Lemuria before it sank. People here already.
Where was Lemuria located?
Lemuria was somewhere to the west, more like the southwest Pacific. Some of the South Pacific Islands, which he specifically named and gave us dates, some of those were mountaintops of Lemuria or Mu.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they were essentially a brown race, somewhat dark, but they were.
Would make sense.
Yeah, they were also fairly intelligent, but they were very peace-loving. And they came here roughly 50,000 B.C., and a lot of the Americas was already settled. Then Casey said there was a series of incursions or migrations into the Americas, and he gave us dates, places that these people came from. He mentioned the South Pacific Islands several times. He mentioned the West. He said they came in 35,000 B.C.
How big was Lemuria compared to, say, Australia?
Casey didn't give as much detail on that as James Churchward did. In Casey's story, he did not say how large it was. We know it was very large. He gave a lot of detail on Atlantis, but not nearly as much on Lemuria.
Okay.
So we really don't know that.
All right.
Go ahead.
How many people lived in ancient America?
Well, Casey didn't give us numbers, but archaeologists actually, and some archaeologists that I trust, actually the Folsoms, Folsom and Folsom tell us the most conservative estimate that at the time Columbus got here, there were over 57 million people living in the Americas.
Wow.
And that is accepted. That's actually the lowest number that you'll find among even the conservative textbooks.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
There were a lot of people here.
We're, what, 260 million or something like that now, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, America's a little over that. We're about 265.
Okay, so, but still, that's a lot of people.
It was not a vast, empty continent, as most people think. You know, as a child, you might have done the same thing I did. I would walk around in the woods and think, no one else has ever been here, that I'm the first person maybe to see this, and I'd go out.
This morning at 8:30 on AM 630 WPRO.
Best unexplored place. But the truth is, there were people all over this continent, from north all the way up to North Canada, all the way to Monte Verde.
And what were we? I mean,
they were very much like us. There were actually the battle of good and evil began then of two different groups. Casey's story gets into great detail on that. The sons of Belial fought against the children of the law of one. They built temples, and one side tried to destroy the other. And it really was a good side and an evil side. And he, even before he died in 1945, he said this same battle is going on now and will go on for all time.
What proof is there of name those groups again?
The one is the sons of Belial. They are the more evil side, and then the children of the law of one, and those relate. Actually, Belial is mentioned in the Bible. It's related to Baal, B-A-A-L, and it is a worship of mankind, and pleasure is one of the big things, and power, and so on. And then
that's just like here and now.
Yes.
Pleasure and power.
That's right. And then the children of the law of one are people who believe there's one God and that we are attached to that one God and part of it, and that we need to worship this one God and live in peace.
Huh.
He said that same thing was going on back then. He gave us some real details. There was a place near Santa Barbara, California, where a temple was built, and the Belial influence literally chased the children of the law of one across America several times, and there were a number of battles. The children of the law of one actually had to hide, and there is a tremendous amount of evidence in the archaeological record that there were groups who were actively fighting each other in real ancient history.
Dr. Little, not much has changed.
No, it hasn't. In fact, it may just be spiraling a little more seriously now.
is there any way beyond what Casey said that we can understand that this ancient America that you're describing so long ago really existed beyond Casey's words?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Casey.
Like what?
Well, almost everything, these dates Casey's given now, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of information in DNA analysis, and I can explain that pretty simply. I don't think you have enough time for that before your break, but DNA analysis has essentially shown that all of Casey's migration patterns are true. Secondly, we have new digs that have occurred where archaeologists have gone beneath the Clovis layer, and that's kind of interesting. That when the Clovis barrier was broken, archaeologists went back to the sites where they had found Clovis and dug deeper and found more and more layers.
Again, so that everybody understands Clovis, the Clovis layer represents the 9,000-year-old level. If you were to dig down, you're going to get to 9,000 years pretty soon,
right? Well, 9,000 B.C., right.
Right. So everybody understands what we're talking about. That's Clovis, and that's what modern archaeology pins everything on, or did.
That's right. And the thing is, there's quotes from archaeologists. They say, when we hit Clovis, we didn't go any lower because we knew there couldn't be anything there. Why waste our time?
Only there was. Now,
only there was.
How much deeper do you go than Clovis before you begin finding, well, what would you want to call it?
Well, they don't have names for these things. There are no names whatsoever. There's a, like where Clovis was broken, the site of Monteverde, the very day they had this massive press conference.
Well, there's your first problem, Doctor. We need a name. Americans need something they can identify.
Absolutely.
I mean, Lucy, right?
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
Lucy, and she tells us everything. Clovis, we now know what that is. We need a name for this next level.
They're calling it pre-Clovis.
Pre-Clovis?
Pre-Clovis, yeah.
not good enough.
I know, because it doesn't really pin it down to anything. And the trouble is, there's too many other...
It's got to have its own name, trust
right.
me. Doctor, hold on. We'll be right back. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long. For so long. Listening to the strangest stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long.
Pakistani police say they detained the wrong man when going over key contacts of kidnapped Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl. Earlier, a senior police officer in Karachi had declared a major breakthrough, but he later said police had the wrong man in custody. The Pentagon is apologizing for the deaths of civilians killed during a raid near Kandahar 2 weeks ago. It had been targeted at suspected Al-Qaeda members. Here's ABC's John McQuethy.
27 were taken into custody during that raid. U.S. military sources say nearly all of them will soon be released, with officials claiming at least two really were Taliban. As for the 20 or so killed in that raid 2 weeks ago, the U.S. is now apologizing, and through the interim Afghan government is providing each family with $1,000 in compensation.
Two Afghan tribes fighting over a town are scheduled to exchange prisoners on Tuesday. The exchange was brokered by a government team of peacemakers. I'm Dorothy McIntyre, ABC News.
Afternoons at 3, it's Dan York on WPRO.
Something that I think is pretty dramatic about the Super Bowl, the cost. $300 million for security matters. How do you come to grips with the kind of dough really costs us?
Hack every game, $5 security fee. I put it into a fund, and then where they need the extra security, it comes out of the fund.
It's not the big dig. When we lost 3,000 lives in New York, we all felt that pain.
Dan York, 3 till 6 on WPRO.
Hi, Heloise here for CitraCal. In a national survey of women, nearly 90% believed that taking calcium could help prevent osteoporosis. Yet only half of those same women actually took a calcium supplement. My hint for today? Buy CitraCal and take it every day. CitraCal is 2 times better absorbed than calcium carbonate, and it won't cause gas or bloating. So don't just think about protecting your bones. Take CitraCal. I do, twice a day. That's why I'm a CitraCal gal.
Make a photograph or school report with an ordinary printer on plain paper, and you'll get something as elementary as this.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
But, thankfully, with the new Epson Stylus C80 printer, even on plain paper, you'll get this. All this extraordinary brilliance on plain, ordinary paper at print speeds that are also sure to earn the highest marks.
With up to 2880 by 720 DPI and speedy black text up to 20 ppm, the Epson Stylus C80 is yours for just $149 after a $30 mail-in rebate. See it in action and enter to win a fabulous vacation in the Epson Seeing is Believing sweepstakes. For a schedule of in-store demos and official rules, visit Epson.com.
Here's our jingle for Goldfish, Flavor Blasted Goldfish. We call them Flavor Blasted because they're blasted with more flavor, with taste that really lingers till you lick it off your fingers. Mmm, might be fingers taste like explosive pizza. And it doesn't get much better than the extra cheddar. And they're baked nut fries, flavor blasted goldfish bread snacks. The cheese makes them delishy. They're shaped just like a fishy. The snack that smiles back, goldfish.
This is Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Afternoons at 3. It's the Dan York Show on WPRO. Give him a week and you'll be hooked on AM 630 WPRO.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
You know, it's interesting. People say, well, who cares? You know, if there were people here long, long ago, well, who cares? What difference does it make? Oh, well, it makes a lot of difference, and I understand that a program and a suggestion like this raises a lot of hackles, makes a lot of people angry, because it steps on a lot of archaeological, religious, and social toes of all kinds. So it drives people absolutely bananas. But I just don't see how we can properly evaluate our present situation and our likely future unless we understand what's happened in the past. Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
In the 1800s, people making land claims had to wait so long for their paperwork to be processed, they were called squatters. Today, if you're left without a car because your insurance company hasn't processed your accident claim, you could be a squatter too. At GEICO, we're there 24 hours a day to get your claim rolling the moment you call. Many claims are settled within 48 hours. Our customers like the way we handle claims almost as much as they like saving money. GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
The best deal in town on nutritional supplements used to be Super Tuesday at General Nutrition Centers. 20% off everything with your GNC Gold Card. Well, that deal just got seven times better because now it's good on the first 7 days of every month. Can't make it on Tuesday? Okay, see you Thursday or any day that week you feel like saving 20% on premium quality nutritional supplements. The new GNC Gold Card program. Come in and join over 4 million members for 7 days of savings every month. GNC. Live well.
A
once again, Dr. Greg Little. Dr. Little, talk to me about genetics. I want to understand how genetics would prove or disprove or help or whatever, you know, proving what Casey said about ancient America and ancient Americans and that all we've known, it just isn't true. What does genetics tell us and how?
Okay, there's a real specific kind of genetic analysis called mitochondrial DNA analysis.
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay, mtDNA. Now, within all the within almost all of the cells of the body, there are these little organelles called mitochondria, and what they do is they take glucose and turn it into a usable form of energy. But mitochondria are not human, and they're not. They are probably some sort of a bacteria that developed a symbiotic relationship with us. Long, long ago. Anyway, mitochondria have their own unique DNA. Mitochondria are only passed through the female side, so that your children, for example, only have your wife's mitochondria, not yours. So it really traces the female lineage. Now, worldwide right now, there are 42 major types of mitochondrial DNA. Mm-hmm. And you might have heard of the seven daughters of Eve, that idea, and that we can trace it back to Africa and this one person. And all that comes from mitochondrial DNA analysis, which, again, it only traces the female lineage. With these 42 types of mitochondria, they can take any individual, living or dead for that matter, and actually trace, figure out what their major type of mitochondria is. And they can actually tell when this individual's ancestors left their major group or migrated out from wherever they started.
Wow.
It's because of the way mitochondrial DNA mutates. It has a pretty steady rate of mutation, and it has truly revolutionized virtually all genetic research. And this is another area that archaeologists just hate because they've never been trained in it. They don't quite understand it. And because the mitochondrial DNA, the results go against everything they've said.
So, in other words, we're relying on the mutation rate
to tell us
of mitochondrial DNA,
right?
And that will how reliably tell us?
Well, that'll tell us pretty darn reliably about when this individual's ancestors left their major group. For example, if their major group was in say Asia. And they left there in 50,000 B.C., and they started interbreeding with other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon a number of factors, we can take an individual who came from that lineage of the people who left Asia in 50,000 B.C. and pretty much pinpoint that. We know that then. It's a fascinating area of research that, like I say, it's revolutionized virtually all of both archaeology and genetics.
How far back does it take us?
It can go back as far as humanity goes. In fact, we can do the same thing with animals. They carry mitochondria also. So we can,
Well, how far back have they gone with it?
With humans, about 200,000 years.
200,000 years.
Right. About 200,000. And they can actually go back even further. And there is some debate about the very beginning of humanity now. One of the reasons that they've said, for example, that we all came from Africa is because that's where the oldest remains have been found. But that may be changing pretty quickly. For example, in, say, Germany, they have found the spears 40,000 years old there, intact spear points. And recently they found a set of spears 400,000 years old, made by man. They don't know if it was modern man or not.
Oh, that'll really screw them up. 400,000 years. 400,000 years.
400,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, it's better than radiocarbon dating. Part of the problem with American archaeology is they've relied so much on radiocarbon dates. And the truth is, radiocarbon dating's only somewhat accurate back to only 50,000 years ago. And you won't find many dates in America before 50,000 years ago because radiocarbon dating doesn't go back beyond it. I know, it's stupid.
Well, in terms of reliability percentage factors or confidence levels, how much difference is there between the mitochondrial
DNA analysis.
And yes.
Radiocarbon dates have a much wider range, so they're not quite as reliable as mitochondrial DNA is.
And this is a generally accepted view?
Oh, it's very accepted. This is mainstream. Even the archaeologists have to acknowledge that it's true. But genetics comes out of some of the more scientific areas within medicine.
But how can they acknowledge it's true without acknowledging that...
Oh, well, they've twisted around the findings to fit into their beliefs.
In what manner?
Well, I'll tell you. Here in America, for example, current Native American tribes and ancient remains started being examined when mitochondrial DNA analysis emerged in around 1991 and 92. And up to 1996, what they found were four major types here, and they're called ABCD. Mitochondria is labeled by letters, A, B, C, D, E, all the way through the alphabet, and then they have different kinds of variations like A sub 1 and so on.
All right.
Now, the ABCDs all are found in Siberia also. A, B, C, and D are found in Siberia. So the nomads currently living there have the same type of mitochondria as those in Native Americans. And then archaeologists immediately jumped on that and said, see, that proves that what we've been saying all along is true, that they all came across the Bering Straits in 10,000 B.C. or 9,000 B.C. And then all of a sudden in 1997, there's that year again, a different type of mitochondrial DNA called haplogroup X was found in America.
Right.
Which was shocking because haplogroup X wasn't found in that time anywhere in Siberia. It has been found now.
Uh-oh.
It's interesting where it was found. Haplogroup X is also found in Israel, very heavily in Israel, and it is found in the ancient Basques in the Pyrenees Mountains. And when I say the ancient Basques, in 1999, a group of geneticists went into four Basque cemeteries and took out the remains of nearly 200 people and did mitochondrial DNA analysis.
I remember that.
And they did that to prove a theory archaeologists have had for many years, and that is that all the people that populated Europe, and like this horde of barbarians, came rumbling through around the year 5000, and they came from southwestern Europe, and they're called haplogroup B. And what they found in the ancient Basque remains, not one person was haplogroup V. Not one. And it just threw them into a tizzy. What they did find was quite a bit of haplogroup X, though.
Huh.
They
didn't find X in Siberia?
Well, in 2001, actually, about 2 weeks before our book went to the printer, haplogroup X was found in the southern Altaic Mountains, which is in the northern Gobi Desert. And it was found in a very unique group there. And we did make that in the book. But basically, if you take Edgar Cayce's predictions, it would be found in that area of the Gobi Desert, because Cayce said a group migrated there in 10,000 B.C. And it would also be found in the Basque areas. Haplogroup X would be there. And it would be found in Israel. Some of it would be found in parts of Egypt, particularly ancient Egyptians. And Cayce would also say that it would be found in the ancient Iroquois, because we've come to the conclusion that haplogroup X is Atlantean mitochondria. Comes from Atlantis. The dates on haplogroup X always seem to go back to 10,000 B.C. when they left wherever their main group was.
All right. You do a lot on mounds, I know.
Oh, yes.
What are mounds? They're here in America, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Most people think they're just little heaps of dirt and they all hold burials, but the truth is they're more than little heaps of earth.
What are they?
Well, in America, what I think they are symbols that connect the upper world to the lower world and this world.
The upper world to the lower world.
That's right. They're spiritual magic machines. There were 200,000 mounds. When the Smithsonian very first got involved in investigating mounds, there were 200,000 known in America back in the early 1800s. There's not nearly that many left today, but...
I assume we've plowed a lot of mountains down.
Oh, we've plowed them. We've used them for up and down the Mississippi River. The levees that we have, a lot of the dirt and the levees were taken from mounds near the river. Farmers, some of the best dirt you can find, so farmers have flattened it. People, looters have gone in and taken things out of them.
How do we know these mounds were not natural?
Oh, well, you can tell that. If you actually dig into one yourself, you'll be able to see the piles of dirt where somebody actually dumped a basket load of dirt and then pounded it down. You can see the contours of it. And then, of course, there's artifacts throughout it. Most mounds today, when you find them, if you want to tell if it's a real mound, go there after a rain and just look at the surface. Don't dig into it. That's probably not legal anyway. But just look at the
surface.
Where are
these mounds?
They basically extend from the entire East Coast all the way to roughly Texas, straight up north. There are thousands of them still in existence. There are a few in the Northwest, but not very many. But they're out the entire eastern half of the United States.
It was almost universal across.
It was universal. In fact, the mounds, the more incredible part of the mounds are the earthworks. The earthworks here in America are more incredible than the ancient earthworks or ancient buildings erected anywhere in the world. They're larger. There are more of them, and they're complex.
What do you mean earthworks?
Okay, if you take Stonehenge. Most people are familiar with Stonehenge.
Of course.
Let's say you take something like Stonehenge, and instead of using stone, you heap up earth.
Yes.
And so you make round circles of earth where the walls are maybe up to 33 feet tall. And you make octagons, connect them to circles, and then have a parallel wall. Two different walls that are parallel with each other, running 56 miles to another circle and octagon. That's actually in Ohio, and a lot of it still remains today.
And then what were these things, and what were they supposed to represent or do?
What archaeologists tell us is that they were used for rituals. But what they probably were magic machines. These were earthen machines these people used to perform rituals to connect themselves with these other worlds, the spiritual world. They were magic machines. In fact, the ones in Ohio, the circle and octagon, which still exists today, the largest one in Newark, Ohio, it perfectly predicts the movements of the moon through 18.61 years.
Well, this is beginning to sound a lot like the pyramids at Giza.
Absolutely, and that fits into this.
Really?
Orion's Belt is seen in many, many mound alignments in the United States, as well as in Central America.
Orion.
That's right. And Orion's Belt, that's part of this is the connection to Atlantis and Casey. The pyramids at Giza and the fact that they were aligned to stars. Casey's the first to say that. The Hall of Records he talked about, he was the first one to discuss that. In fact, there's a Hall of Records in Central America, according to Casey. And we know the site where it is, but no one has ever found it yet, although Brigham Young University has been looking the past few years.
Oh, have they?
In the past 5 years, Brigham Young has gone to this site in Guatemala, and it's called Piedras Negras. There's actually a book by a guy you had on your show about 3 weeks ago, John Van Auken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The Lost Hall of Records, and it's about this site at Piedras Negras, Guatemala. It has a Hall of Records identical to the one at Giza.
Doctor, if we were to get the Hall of Records said to exist beneath the Sphinx, Father Sphinx, or the one in Central America, what would you imagine, what kind of information would you imagine to be contained therein?
Well, Casey said real specifically what it was. He said there were 24 tablets, and on these tablets was engraved the history of Atlantis from the beginning of time when humans descended into matter and became physical beings until the demise of Atlantis in about 10,014 B.C. And it tells of this battle between the sons of Belial and the children of the Law of One, and it talks about what we really are.
So they had a kind of something that we in modern America might call a technology, although it was really more like magic, maybe at that time a natural magic, but today it would be regarded by us, would it not, as magic?
Yeah, it was a form of magic, and their technology was different. Casey's story talks about a highly evolved culture that almost destroyed itself and was set back rather drastically, and they used crystals, and one of the neatest experiments I like to do with people is to darken a room, stand in front of them with two huge crystals, which the crystals are, it's quartz, and rub them together, and you can literally light up a room with it to show people how much energy is inside these crystals. And it's a pretty impressive thing, and physics understands what it is. But if you read Casey's story about it, they use crystals. Well,
I don't understand what it is. I have never seen, I do have crystals. Yeah. Does it require a specific kind of crystal?
Well, no, actually even lifesavers work.
What?
Lifesavers. If you take a lifesaver, put it in your mouth, put it between your teeth.
Yes.
Go into your bathroom, make sure it's totally dark in there.
Yes.
And make sure that your mouth is open enough and crunch that lifesaver and watch the little sparks come out of your mouth, the light. Now, that's just a very simple demonstration of what's known as the piezoelectric effect. And in physics, it's called, it's the piezoelectric effect. Rubbing crystals causes what's called exoexcitation, and it's the releasing of all those electrons that have been trapped inside of the crystals. In fact, what you're seeing is, instead of sparks, you're seeing little tiny balls of light, which in fact are like tiny little plasmas.
Wow.
And the ancient shaman used them. We know how they did it here in the Americas. We've actually found the shaman's bags. They would take leather pouches, and they'd put a bunch of little crystals in there, and they'd go into a darkened room, and they would grind these things. And as they would grind them, the little balls of light would pop out of the leather pouch, and it would impress the heck out of people.
Well, that's energy.
Yes, it is. It's energy. You better believe it is. And when I've done this in different situations and different people, and I have no way to prove it, but it definitely creates some sort of a mental state in me.
Do the crystals have to be smooth or shaped in any particular way?
No, as long as you could, you have to be. The watch works by putting pressure on the crystal, and it generates a frequency.
And in a radio transmitter is years ago,
mm-hmm.
before newer technology took over.
Absolutely,
crystals were used to determine a specific frequency, and the size and the width of the crystal, as it was excited, would determine the frequency of the transmitter.
Mm-hmm. See, I believe that they had some of this knowledge, they had. And part of their belief was...
They just used it in a very different
way, that's right. They believed they could communicate with the spirit world and God with these things. And I'm not going to say they could. There's a site, for example, in Portsmouth, Ohio. Actually, it's on the other side of the river. A circle and it's a square with two long extensions, 2,100 feet going each way, and we believe that that is the entrance to heaven and a portal to hell.
Boy, you want to be sure and catch the right tunnel direction in that one. We'll get back to Dr. Greg Little shortly. I've got some crystals. I don't think I have any lifesavers, though some of you might give that a try. Let me know how it works. I don't know if I'd like that. You know, if you've got cavities, you don't want to think about electrical sparks in there very deeply, but I'd like to give that... Some of you out there, try it. Let me know. We'll be right back. The World Trade Center burned for almost 3 months, a very, very long time, but not the longest burning fire in the U.S. Find out what blaze has burned a lot longer in the February issue of the After Dark newsletter. You can also read about evidence of UFO activity that's been covered up by NASA and how Dan Aykroyd got involved in the case, plus levitation, nanotechnology, and much, much more. It's all in the February issue of the After Dark newsletter. Call now, 1-888- 727-5505 for only $39.95. You'll get two free issues. 14 for the price of 12. That number to subscribe. 1-888-727-5505. Or log on to artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order. So, figured out what the longest burning fire is? I'll give you a hint. It's still burning. Give up? Just order after dark. Call 1-888-727-5505.
No matter what time you catch Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, it's always midnight in the desert.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Ann. I want to compliment you on the beautiful song that Crystal Gayle has written and dedicated to you.
Oh, isn't it dynamite?
It's wonderful. Art, we love your show. I live here in an old farmhouse, and at nighttime, during the quiet hours, I turn on my radio and light my candles and fasten my seatbelt and prepare to take a ride.
Well, you're going for a ride. Thank you very much, hon. Here she is. This is Crystal Gayle, and yes, she sang this one for me, and I guess all of you, all about the program.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey.
New Talk Radio 630 WPRO.
ABC News. I'm Dorothy McIntyre. Two congressional committees are ready to subpoena former Enron CEO Kenneth Lay. Members say they need to hear his side of the story to find out what went wrong with that company. William Powers of the Special Investigative Committee for the Board of Directors of Enron says he knows what went wrong.
There was a fundamental default in the leadership of the management. And leadership and management begin at the top, with the chairman and CEO, Ken Lay.
Lay has resigned from the company's board of directors. The Pentagon has apologized for the deaths of civilians killed during a raid near Kandahar 2 weeks ago. It had been targeted at suspected al-Qaeda members. Retired Rear Admiral Stephen Baker is a senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information.
That's just another example of our resolve to do things right and to do it the best way we can. And when we make mistakes, admit them and see what we can do to prevent future occurrences.
The Afghan families of the more than 20 people killed have been paid $1,000 each. President Bush says his budget recognizes the vital role of the U.S. military. In his words, the $2.1 trillion package put Social Security and Medicare surplus money into the war on terrorism.
We're unified in Washington on winning this war. One way to express our unity is for Congress to set the military budget, the defense of the United States, as a number one priority and fully fund my request.
Democratic Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware is warning that the fate of Afghanistan may be at stake. He's urging President Bush to reconsider and allow U.S. troops to take part in the international security force in Afghanistan. You're listening to ABC News.
This year, the government's going to give out over $350 billion to people like you who want to start a business, go back to school, or train for a new job. I'm Matthew Lesko, and I've written over 70 books on government programs. You've probably seen me all over the television shows, on talk shows. My new program shows you 15,000 government sources, where you can get like $100,000 to open up a coffee shop, $15,000 to write a book, or $30,000 to become a French chef, $9,000 to take a computer course, or $15,000 to finish college, get a GED, or a PhD. There's money to travel overseas, train your employees, or work on your invention. I've done all the work. You just have to make the call. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO, and you'll get my book and six-hour audio tape program for only two payments of $29.95 plus $7.50 postage and handling. There's a 90-day money-back guarantee. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO. Let's go! Or 1-877-275-5375.
Doctors in Phoenix say Republican Senator John McCain has undergone successful surgery to remove a small non-cancerous lesion from his nose. McCain says the lesion is not related to the two past cases of melanoma.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we noticed that there was a discoloration. Went to see my dermatologist who I see quite frequently, and she did a biopsy and said it's an abnormal cell situation and it just has to be removed.
Senator McCain says there is no indication of malignancy. Doctors say McCain will undergo a 90-minute procedure to cover the scar from the operation. The senator says he should be back in Washington next week. U.S. officials are trying to reassure Palestinians that frustration with Yasser Arafat does not mean there's a change in support for a Palestinian state. Is ABC's Bill Greenwood in Washington.
Secretary of State Colin Powell says the U.S. insists on an end to attacks on Israelis before there can be a return to long-term peace negotiations. But during a meeting with the Speaker of the Palestinian Parliament, Secretary Powell said the United States remains committed to the establishment of a Palestinian state, living side by side in peace with Israel.
Checking the money scope from ABCNews.com. In Tokyo, the Nikkei closed down 156 points, or about 1.5%. This is ABC News.
Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and other serious illnesses hit African Americans at high rates. But it doesn't have to be that way. This is Tommy Thompson, Secretary of Health and Human Services. My department is working with ABC Radio to help educate the nation about these health concerns. Please team with us so we can eliminate the health gap. Call 1-800-444-6472 for health information that could add years to your life. We can build a healthier America together, one person, one family at a time.
I'm Dorothy McIntyre, ABC News.
On WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Increasing wind overnight, low near 20, wind chill near zero. Tuesday, cold and windy with plenty of sun, high near 30. Tuesday night, clear to partly cloudy and brisk, low 22. With WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather, I'm Reggie Love.
You can depend on AccuWeather at News Talk Radio 630, WPRO. Get online at 630WPRO.com. Take the daily Pro People's Poll and check out this week's great values.
Imagine yourself basking on one of Cancun's white sandy beaches or carving fresh tracks in the Lake Tahoe snow. Do you need a vacation? Get to 630WPRO.com and click on 11th Hour Vacations to check out over 1 million packages with the lowest vacation prices around.
630WPRO.com. Get online with News Talk Radio 630 WPRO.
This morning at 5, the WPRO Morning News has AccuWeather, traffic on the ones, the most local news, and the worldwide resources of ABC on AM 630 WPRO. Dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
It certainly is. Good morning. You're not going to believe what I just did, but I did it. Again, we're welcoming WCOA in Pensacola, Florida, 1370 on the dial to the network. We're also welcoming live XM Radio to the network as of tonight, live on the Ask channel. Well, I just... I just went into
my bedroom, our bedroom, and we have been blessed with people who have given us crystals over the years, and my wife has always had crystals, and so I had a couple big chunks of raw crystal and took it into a dark room, and even lightly striking them together produces a really, really good spark, and it also produces a kind of undefined light, a light that goes beyond the spark. I mean, these are serious sparks, really serious sparks, and serious lights. It's really very, very cool. So if you're blessed to have crystal around, give it a try yourself. That's definitely seriously electrical, no question about that. But then there's something else, too. There's another kind of light with the light of the crystal. Now, it's hard to define because you think you're seeing a reflection of all the sparks that are going off, but there's another kind of light there, I'm telling you. Oh, that's really wild stuff. We'll be right back. We live, as you know, in very strange times, and if you want a flashlight, you can depend on it. If the lights go out, if the power goes out, you sure as hell want a flashlight you can depend on. Old flashlights, frankly, were horse poop compared to what we've got today. I mean, there's been a revolution in flashlights, and the Sea Crane Company has led the way, and they have led the way since the beginning. It's like you might as well take all your old flashlights and give them the heave-ho and get something like this. Either the CC Trek light or the larger CC Expedition both share the same operating principles. Now, the white LED bulbs are guaranteed for life. That means you're a whole life, probably that of your children. Now, you compare that to a bulb that'll give you about 20 hours, guaranteed for life. The batteries, same batteries you would use in a regular flashlight, will last up to 20 times longer. 20 times longer, or even longer than that, than regular flashlights. They're waterproof. You can turn these things on underwater, twist on, twist off kind of operation. Shockproof. Frankly, everybody in America, in the world, should have one of these. Or several. So the CC Trek light is $29.95. The Expedition, larger, brighter, same though, $59.95. Sea Crane Company has them, and in my estimation, you're crazy if you don't get one or several. At 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863, or on the web, of course, at ccradio.com. Now, have you heard the inside information on gold? Did you know that some gold investments were up over 30% last year? Now, if your broker has not clued you in about investing in gold, call my sponsor, Lear Financial, and ask why. Listen to this now. Forbes, the Financial Times, even Merrill Lynch are all reporting why big money is moving into gold. Let me give you some facts, all right? In 2001, gold funds were up over 30%, outperforming all stock funds. Now, physical gold is up 12% in just the last 12 months, and the experts project even greater returns this year. So, you might want to learn why your best investment, your best protection in 2002 would be gold. Call Lear Financial today at 1-800-474-4259. That's 1-800-474-4259. It's a way to protect what you've got in times that are frightening. And they are. We'll send you a free gold profit kit and a very nice report entitled Why the Experts Picked Gold in 2002. Read it for yourself. I mean, it's obvious what's going on right now. If history is any indicator, then gold is set for a big-time rally right now. Call 1-800-474-4259. Well, that was really, 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 really cool. As I said, Dr. Little, I just tried what you suggested, and it was awesome. Absolutely amazing.
I didn't think you were going to try it right away.
Oh, yeah, I've got the stuff here, so why not?
I can give you, if you want to take it a step further, the most spectacular effect is doing it underwater.
Underwater.
Do it in your bathtub. Sometime when your if your bathroom is totally dark,
right.
Fill the tub full of water.
Right.
Go to the sit on the side of it. Don't get in the water, but just sit on the side. Put those crystals underwater.
Yes.
And rub them under there, and
right.
It will light up your entire bathroom. As long as you are rubbing those crystals, I don't know exactly what it is. It's refraction in the water or something, but it's phenomenal. The effect is just phenomenal.
Well, again, there are, in my mind, I saw two effects. I saw all kinds of sparks. I mean, not just a spark, but a lot of sparks. Number one. Number ten, because I had a lot of rough edges. You know,
right.
These are raw crystals.
Right.
Number two, though, I saw another light that I cannot so easily define. That went with it. Now, it could have been, because of the nature of crystal, a reflection within the crystal. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. Technically, those are not sparks. The reason you think they're sparks is because you can smell some of the crystal fracturing, and you can see little pieces of it. But those are actually just electrons pinging off. And when the crystal fractures, when uh-huh. itty-bitty little microscopic fractures occur, electrons pop out. And there are little balls of light that are literally plasmas, which is it's air that takes on the electromagnetic force of the electrons. It doesn't last very long with a small crystal. But those are actually little tiny plasmas, electrically charged balls of air.
By the way, with respect to your lifesaver thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are fast blasting me saying, yes, that does work, but only with window green flavor.
Well, actually, you can't. I was thinking on break that actually it does work with others, but you can't use the Lifesavers breath mints. The best ones are the clear Lifesavers, the old fashioned kind, that you can almost see through.
Oh. Huh. Weird.
And it's the same basic principle.
All right,
so then
is it, we are reasonably then concluding that there's some, there may well be some power within a crystal that if directed in some way that we don't know about, could do all kinds of things, like, who knows, move big things, cause things to levitate, maybe even move big blocks weighing tons and tons, or who knows, right?
Well, that's what Casey said, yes. I'm skeptical of moving stuff, but I know we don't know enough about crystals yet, and we sure don't know enough about the effects of the electromagnetic fields on the brain. The natives believed that they were opening up portals with this.
Really?
That there were literally doors. That's why they constructed these huge earthworks in shape, so they could open up doorways so that these other beings or other forces could move through the portals from their spiritual area to this physical world.
What do you understand about the function of the pyramids in Egypt?
According to Casey, they were built to align with the stars and to point to specific places in the stars, and that they were there to house information from the Atlanteans. Beyond that, I believe that Bouval is correct, and Hancock, who I know you have on later this week.
I do.
Yes.
I see you watch very, very carefully. Yes, Graham is going to be on.
Yes, I believe they are correct in that it does point to the year roughly 10,500 B.C., which is the year that the time frame Casey said that the Atlanteans went there, as well as to the Yucatan and to the Iroquois lands. But I think they're correct, but I don't know how much further they can take that. I don't believe they're a power source. I have been in the Great Pyramid and been in every little area you can be in it, crawled around mm-hmm. for 7 hours, which mm-hmm. is enough time for me.
It was for me, too.
Yeah, I just don't think that it's a power source. I don't think that it's a beacon or anything else. I think it's there to serve as a in permanent information for us to tap.
Do you think that if we got to this Hall of Records, it would contain information that would allow us to begin to understand the way these ancient powers were used?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think it would be there. I think it would be that we would see. This crystal plays a really key role in Casey's history of Atlantis, and he says that this is that the power within a crystal can be used for good purposes and bad purposes.
That's like all power.
That's right. And that within Atlantis, the split between these two groups, the Sons of Belial and the Children of Law of One, the Sons of Belial wanted to use the power for destructive force, and the Children of Law of One wanted to use it to get closer to God. And the two sort of had this philosophical, political battle, and actually they destroyed their own place. But I think we would find that information there within the Hall of Records, absolutely. And I do believe that there is a that the Hall of Records, somewhat like Casey has described it, does exist. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, again, then, as of now, nothing has changed. You know, the old Law of One folks and the other folks, and they destroyed themselves. And I was referring to understanding our past as it relates to, you know, analyzing our present and our future. I wonder if there's any way our future can be changed, or if we are destined to become, I don't know if victim is the right word, but victims of history repeating itself endlessly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, in 9,000 years, people could talk about a great land called it America, and it could be a myth to everyone that's around at the time. History, I don't think history is determined. We can change it. But just like Plato said several thousand years ago, many, many lands have been destroyed over and over. They, civilizations have come and they've gone. And,
is there any indication, this might be way too specific, that any previous civilization has ever benefited from information held from another previous civilization?
Well, benefited from, well, yeah, lithic technology. the making of weapons, absolutely.
Okay.
That's one thing. I mean, the discovery of certain kinds of weapons, sure, we copy that stuff. I think a lot of our modern, some of the, I call it modern, but some of the irrigation techniques that we use today, some of the, like the aqueducts of Rome and so on, we have borrowed a lot of that from these lost, literally long disappeared advanced ancient civilizations. We have copied a lot of this. But beyond that, we've taken some of their philosophy. I don't think we've learned anything that changes us deeply, you know, like right and wrong and about destruction.
Well,
I don't think we learned those lessons.
Right and wrong probably never have changed. I would just make that guess.
I don't think that right and wrong could change, yeah.
Right, exactly. However, if an ancient civilization had technology, and there's so much that points to the fact that they had to, they just simply could not have done what they did, or we don't understand how they could have without some sort of technological ability that we don't have or understand today.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're pretty limited today in our view in the past, and then we have these people that have on these blinders or these the glasses that are rose colored or colored whatever they want it to be, so they're not really giving us the truth. That's part of the problem, our perception of truth. It's like seeing these literally thousands of mounds here in America. Some people see them as little heaps of earth, and they won't go and look at the gigantic ones that are clearly there as some other function. And in some cases, they're right in their own backyard. I mean, they're within miles of people.
What's in Ohio?
Oh, well, it's not just Ohio, but Ohio has, we took a tour, people to mounds back in October. We took 105 people to mounds. We started at Newark, Ohio, at the Circle and Octagon. And here's what's really interesting about this, that the bus drivers of the two buses that we had, one of the bus drivers lived 20 miles from there. He had never been there. He had never heard of it.
Yes, really?
He walked up this 14-foot-high wall and looked inside one of the most beautiful golf courses you'll ever see. And it inside this golf, the golf course is built inside the Circle and Octagon. There is a 20-acre perfect circle with and the circle's formed by a 14-foot wall of earth, and it's attached to a 50-acre perfect octagon. And inside the octagon, there are eight square mounds at each of the points of the octagon. Now, the guy was an avid golfer. He immediately made a tee time for 2 weeks from then. But he sat down and told me, he said, you know, I didn't have any idea any of this existed. And he lived there his entire life. But it's, that thing is phenomenal. And the only way to understand it, you can even see pictures of it, and you don't understand the magnitude of it. You could get several Stonehenges or great pyramids to sit inside of that thing, and you'd still have space left over. In Louisiana, Poverty Point, Louisiana, the 11 miles of the semi-octagon embankment at Poverty Point, which was built in 2500 B.C., those 11 miles of earthworks would fill the Great Pyramid 32 times. And there is a giant eagle effigy there, an eagle mound, where the eagle from wingtip to wingtip is over 720 feet.
All of this, so long BC. Now, you say here that these appear to have been used, or this thing in Ohio.
Yes.
Near Portsmouth? Seems to have been used as a portal, you said, to heaven and hell.
Yes,
that's pretty wild stuff. Now,
no kidding.
Now, what did they know about heaven and hell, B.C.?
Oh, well, they had their idea. We know they had their idea about that. The modern Native Americans carry some of the exact same legends that go back to antiquity. We also know by the way that they've constructed these earthworks and mounds, although what I'm calling mounds are not always mounds. Sometimes they are huge geometrical earthen shapes that the magnitude of which the walls can be up to 33 feet tall in these things. But anyway, we do know that they funneled people, they channeled the movement of people through these parallel walls, and they'd take them through points. My wife likes to call the one that I think leads to hell the eyedropper, because it gets narrower and narrower to where only one person can move between these two little points.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is the portal to hell. I think that's the way out to hell, and that's actually on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River, Portsmouth.
Why do you believe that, or why do you believe that they believed that then?
Well, we know... Why do I believe it?
Yes, sir.
Modern, basically, it's from studying what the modern Native Americans know and what we know about some Native American beliefs when the very first Europeans came here. Some of that was written down. We know that when the first settlers and the first priests and so on came in, those that made friends with the Native Americans found out a lot of their spiritual beliefs that had been handed down from antiquity. They did believe in a heaven and a hell. They literally did believe in a happy hunting ground, which the Cheyenne believe literally is the star Sirius. But anyway, they do believe in the literal existence of heaven and hell. They think heaven is a specific star. Hell is banishment from that star. And that belief is still held by many Native American tribes, and it's consistent with other religious beliefs, for that matter.
And so, you do believe that there was and is was prior to Christ's time on Earth a heaven and hell?
Oh, well, I do. Yeah, I have to just admit point blank. I'm pretty religious. I guess I shouldn't say religious. I'm pretty spiritually oriented. And I believe that everything that we decide is essentially spiritual in its nature. It has an effect on us, an effect on our inner self and who we really are. Every decision we make.
There are many Christians, and I hear from them. Believe me, hear from them. And, you know, they think that man's only been around on Earth for, 6,000 years?
Well, they're wrong. I don't know what else to say. Most of them, there aren't many of these ultra-fundamentalists. They may be loud, and they may make a lot of noise, but there's not that many of them. There's nowhere in the Bible that says man's been around 6,000 years.
It may well be that you don't meet a lot of them, Doctor.
Oh, I meet some of them.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
I can assure you there are quite a few if I go by email percentages. Of course,
yeah.
You just said they're loud, so
sure.
Maybe it's disproportionate, but I'm telling you, I hear from a lot of them.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. You'd be a focal point for a lot of them because you bring a lot of people on that have ideas that they believe go against their beliefs. See, I don't think anything I say goes against fundamentalism.
You'd be one of those people.
But one of which people?
One of the aforementioned people.
I know.
That challenge their beliefs.
Yeah, I know. But I don't generally hear from them. I don't get challenged that much by them. And I've been around quite a while doing this. I've had very few. In fact, I've had fundamentalists after I have talked with them. And it's not just that these ideas go against their beliefs. I do believe that everything is spiritual. And I do believe that there is a hell, though I don't accept their vision of what it may be. And I think there's a heaven, too, although I don't accept the vision that they may have of heaven.
All right. Hold tight. Actually, it would be interesting to understand what your vision of those two locations would be. I'm always interested in what people think about that. I've had my own thoughts about it. Heaven. Hell. What would they be? No single thing. There couldn't be any single thing. They have to be as individual as all of you little snowflakes out there, right? I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Increasing wind overnight, low near 20, wind chill near zero. Tuesday, cold and windy with plenty of sun, high near 30. Tuesday night, clear to partly cloudy and brisk, low 22. With WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather, I'm Reggie Lutz.
You can depend on AccuWeather at News Talk Radio 630, WPRO.
Warlords in northern Afghanistan say they are ready to withdraw from Mazar-e-Sharif and form a new security force. They also pledged to demobilize tens of thousands of fighters who've protected the warlords' interests for years. Democratic Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware warns the fate of Afghanistan might be at stake. He's urging President Bush to reconsider and allow U.S. troops to take part in the international security force.
And the United States will have to take the lead, and if we don't, I don't believe anyone else will.
Senator Biden spoke yesterday to a group at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. The managing editor of the Wall Street Journal says he wants to address the concerns of the kidnappers who are holding reporter Daniel Pearl in Pakistan. The editor has written an open letter asking to begin a dialogue with the kidnappers. I'm Dorothy McIntyre, ABC News.
Weeknights at 7, it's the Michael Savage Show on WPRO.
Remember you heard all the phony baloney for years? Global warming, the Earth's coming to an end, the ice caps are melting. The liberals aren't going to be able to have ice for their drinks. They won't be able to chill their Chardonnay. We got new studies. It was hot this summer, and it was cold last winter. The sun came out in July. That definitely proves that we have global warming.
Michael Savage, weeknights at 7 on AM 630.
AM 630.
WPRO.
Larry King here with some things you may not know about the healthy heart supplement, garlic. I didn't say garlic. I said garlic. Garlic's a world leader in product potency. And since garlic has been clinically shown to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, for me, that makes garlic dietary supplement the one to trust. Just one tablet daily. Garlic's unique freeze-dried method traps the power of garlic in a natural odor-free tablet. Help keep your heart healthy with garlic, as in unique. Garlic, cholesterol's natural enemy.
You know, when I was ready to buy my term life policy, I didn't want to have to work at it. I wanted things made simple, straightforward, and convenient. So I called the licensed insurance professionals at Matrix Direct Insurance Services. With one phone call, I learned how affordable, high-quality, high-value term life insurance can be. And I got the best rates available from Protective Life Insurance Company, a respected insurer since 1907.
Learn how a 35-year-old man can pay less than $12 a month for $150,000 coverage, or how a 42-year-old man can pay less than $15 a month for the same coverage. Rates guaranteed 10 years. Call Matrix Direct for your free quote. 1-800-695-TERM. 1-800-695-TERM. Protected value term policy at select preferred rates, subject to underwriting. Term life insurance form TL06. Premiums increase after 10 years. Renewable to age 96. Convertible within 5 years. 2-year contestable period. Ron Harris license agent. Not available in some states. Speak with a Matrix Direct professional. Call 1-800-695-TERM.
I'm a Gold Bond guy. Ordinary products don't work for me, but Gold Bond's medicated to work as hard as I do.
Drill press operator Michael Harding of Charlotte, North Carolina, talks about Gold Bond medicated body powder.
Gold Bond powder keeps me cool, dry, and itch-free.
I'm a Gold Bond mom.
For her family, Allison Lee from Atlanta, Georgia, uses Gold Bond medicated anti-itch cream.
Gold Bond anti-itch cream works for fast relief of skin irritations, rashes, and bug bites.
Gold Bond. Medicated to work as hard as you do. Use only as directed.
From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast with Art Bell on WPRO. The Red Sox return this spring as Hope Springs Eternal on your radio home of Boston Red Sox baseball. AM 630, WPRO. From west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Why should we be interested in all this? Well, because it's our history, your history, my history. If it's all true, it's our history. And I would say it's something we ought to know about. What do you think? Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
Do you know if you qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit? Well, if you have kids, you should find out. Because it's for people who earn around $32,000 or less, have kids, and meet some other rules. If you qualify, you could pay less tax, no tax, or even get a refund. To find out if you qualify, visit the IRS website at www.irs.gov or ask your tax preparer about it. A message from the Internal Revenue Service, working to put service first.
Good morning, Mr. Higgins. Your 11 o'clock appointment wants to reschedule. Your lunch meeting is set for 1:30. Oh, and I have you penciled in for an automobile accident at 3, but I need to know whether you prefer a fender bender or a three-car pileup.
Nobody plans an accident. That's why GEICO's there 24 hours a day to get your claim rolling the moment you call. Many claims are settled within 48 hours. Our customers like the way we handle claims almost as much as they like saving money. GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
Once again, Dr. Greg Little. And, Dr. Little, I should take a moment out and promo your book, which is called Mound Builders, Edgar Cayce's Forgotten History of Ancient America. And is the book available? I know it's available, obviously, from ARE, and I've got a toll-free number here, which is 1-800-723-1112. That's easy number, 1-800-723-1112.
I'd like to add there that they are only open during normal business hours.
Normal
East
business
Coast.
Hours. What about other places? Or...
Oh, Amazon. You've actually got a link on your website for Amazon.
Amazon.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. These mound builders who thought there was a heaven and hell, you mentioned something about... just out of curiosity, you need not answer. You think there is a heaven and hell.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
Well, I've stated pretty clearly in a number of books, including this one, including the mound book, and I actually have a scientific explanation for it that has made sense to a lot of people.
Try me.
Okay. Are you familiar with the electromagnetic energy spectrum?
I certainly am.
Okay. Most people aren't. They think that if you can't see something, that it must be in another dimension. And I've had that discussion with lots of UFO believers. And just because you can't see something doesn't mean there's something there, like the radio waves around us. But anyway.
That's right. Actually, if radio and television waves were visible, it would be like dodging... it all the time.
Yeah, we'd be blind. Because
yeah,
we'd all
we'd
hear lights all around us.
That's exactly right, yes.
But anyway, I believe that the electromagnetic energy spectrum is the reality spectrum. And I know that we are close to in the middle of it, and about 5% of the physical world and the light within the physical world rests in the visible light range. And the 95% outside of it, I think, represents the two spiritual realms, higher and lower. On the far end of one end, going up to cosmic rays and what I like to call stellar nurseries, where stars are born and actually energy appears to be created, I think that is heaven. And the other end, where energy comes to a complete standstill, I believe that is hell. And energy would come to a complete standstill when actually in a black hole, theoretically.
Well, I'm not a physicist, but let's see.
And I can tell you
this. A black hole, I know, swallows up light and stars and all matter that it encounters and... just increases its density, its thought, with this consumption, right?
That's correct. And light cannot escape it. That's why it's called a black hole. And it would be as dense could be in the center of it. In fact...
So where energy would come to a stop would be a black hole, which would be hell.
Which would represent hell, right. And there's a tradition for this, and I didn't... This idea, I've always been interested in this electromagnetic energy spectrum, and...
So have I.
Carl Jung, actually, both Carl Jung and John Keel, who was author of the Mothman Prophecies.
Had him on the show, yeah.
Right. Keel, I've talked to Keel a number of times, and written about him quite a lot. Keel was the second person to say that UFOs come from the electromagnetic energy spectrum. The first person, actually, was Carl Jung. And Jung's last book was called Flying Saucers, A Modern Myth of Things Seen in the Sky. It was published in 1959, and Jung actually said that he believed that UFOs and these intelligences, whatever they are, were archetypal forces that came from different ends of the EM spectrum. And that is where I initially got the idea. Then I stumbled upon Kiel and basically built upon that idea, then studied some of the ancient books, particularly the Hebrew. It's called Enoch 3, the Hebrew Book of Enoch. And in that, the descriptions of the little gray creatures that are called the Watchers.
That's right.
Yes, they take, that's actually in 3 Enoch, and it, there's a description of them. But they take them to this place where they rotate this craft that they carry souls in, and they push the souls through this gate. And once the souls go through the gate, they spiral down, and they can see out. This is all in that ancient book. The souls can see out, but it's dense. They can hear nothing. They can't move. There is no light and so on. And the description just fits it to a T.
Hell.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's really interesting about souls. So, but then that is a continued, albeit horrible, but a continued existence of some sort, which would lend itself to the concept that energy has not really exactly died.
No, it doesn't. Energy can neither be destroyed nor created. It can only change form.
Right, but you led us in that direction when you talked about the entrance to a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't exactly be dead.
That's right. I tell you what really, that's kind of a depressing belief, and I was depressed for a while.
Well, it is when you think about it.
I came to believe that. But what really saved me was the newest, at least I won't call it research, but speculations by Stephen Hawking and others,
yes,
that shows us that energy that goes into a black hole doesn't necessarily stay there forever. There's an outer shell that appears around the black hole where energy comes from. And my vision of this is like a cosmic cleansing in there, that some sort of purified energy, everything that goes into a black hole eventually comes out, and it's different somehow.
We could call it a purga hole.
Maybe, yeah. purgatory.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and then what about the other side? You said the old ones believed Orion.
Well, they believed the Cheyenne. Now, all these different groups had different beliefs. I had a Cheyenne, actually he was the arrow priest of the Cheyenne tribe, stay with us for a month back in 1990. And during that month, one night we went out and I asked him, we were talking about heaven, and he went out and pointed to it, the happy hunting ground.
All right, we have many descriptions of heaven. You told us what you thought hell was. Very interesting. What do you think heaven is?
I think heaven is where energy is created. It's a stellar nursery. Cosmic rays at their most energetic. Where all energy literally is spewed forth, which is in a... I love the term cosmic nursery, and that's one that was coined by, I believe, Hawking came up with that also.
Not bad. All right, so then... You believe that souls continue to exist in this horrific manner in a purga hole?
Well, I think they. I think it. It.
What about heaven? What about when a soul goes to heaven?
I think it's just close to creation, and I don't think we can really conceive of it. Our minds are so limited. We're just so narrow and so limited. We can't conceive of what it would be like to just be pure energy. And maybe the closest we get is like people when they have a near-death experience.
Well, it's almost like you're saying pure free energy versus energy in a kind of a hellish prison.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if you think about it, in these bodies that we have, my mother was just diagnosed with cancer.
I'm sorry?
Thank you. But anyway, in these bodies... We got energy imprisoned in these bodies. That's the whole idea that Edgar Cayce was talking about, that we are literally souls trapped in physical matter, and we made this choice to come here. And the problem is that we don't understand that we are energy trapped in physical matter, and we make the choice. We made the choice to do this, and unfortunately, once we made that choice, we keep coming back again and again until we get out of here, till we escape the trap.
Do you believe that the soul is a prized possession fought over by whatever rules the good and evil sign? Is that a yes or
No? I'm not sure what you're visualizing. They're like demons and little beings and so on.
Yeah, that's right. Demons.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
God, the devil, Lucifer, whatever, you know, rulers of kingdom up there, kingdom down there.
I think souls have value,
Empress.
Of course. Don't you? Those people that call in that thump the Bible, are they not trying to control souls?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it obviously there's some value to the souls. I worked in prisons for a long time and still do. I try to stay out of them as much as possible. And if a person doesn't believe evil exists, if they go to work in prisons for 25 years, they will see some real evil sooner or later.
Yes.
And there are people that, there's a saying out of the Bible. It's actually in Proverbs, and it's misery loves company. That's actually out of Proverbs. And I think that evil likes to create more of itself because misery loves company. And people ask me all the time, why do they do this? And I say, the best answer I know is the simplest, and it is misery loves company. These are miserable people, many of whom cannot escape their trap. And the only thing left for them is to bring everybody else into the same trap.
Fascinating. Really, you know, in many ways, I mean, you're saying everything that would support what a fundamentalist says, short of saying what a fundamentalist says.
I think fundamentalists are off track. They are fundamentally deluded.
Well, maybe so, but the two of you, you and fundamentalists.
That's why I get along with them. I mean, I do. Get
I mean,
along
I can see why you do, because you virtually are agreeing with them right up until. Specific points.
Hindus believe the same sort of stuff. And that's interesting in this. Hindus believe the same basics. And a part of Islam, I don't want to talk much about Islam, but a part of Islam has very similar beliefs. It's just, it's just whoever the messenger is. That seems to be the big difference in all this. And to me, that's not the real issue with some of this anyway.
So, what event do you think would have to take place for history to stop repeating itself and for the good and evil forces, I suppose that's a matter of perspective, but for we're calling the good and evil forces, to not destroy themselves and their world and civilization all over again?
What event do I can't answer your question because I don't think that can occur.
I don't either.
I do not believe that we have the solution to all problems. The problems are man-made based somewhat upon the nature of this physical world we're in. But I don't think we can solve all problems. They are beyond us. It's like, how would you solve what's going on in the Middle East, which has been going on back into history from what we know as the beginning of time, and it still goes on.
And it seems to be squarely on course with biblical prophecy.
Well, yeah, I think biblical prophecy simply mirrors what was going on back then, and it's kind of like an inevitable outcome. It's like a chess match where you can see 20 moves into the future and tell what's going to happen.
Now, you see, Casey should have had some comments on all of that.
He did.
In other words, aren't we all but puppets on a string acting out a larger play?
Imagine that there is a larger play, but each one of us, we're not puppets. Every one of us has true freedom of choice. We can choose.
But at the same time,
the ending is kind of known, which is paradoxical.
It is, isn't it?
It's quite paradoxical. I have been in situations within prisons where things were out of control, and I knew what was going to happen. But what the ending would be. But if you actually would talk to some of the inmates within the prison.
How long did you work in prisons?
Well, I still do. I have programs within prisons in 42 different states. States, and I've been in the prison system.
Is that how you began, doing work in prisons, or?
Actually, my very beginning was in the field of psychopharmacology, basic animal research, searching for the site of action of various drugs within the brain. And at the time, I was an atheist, very unspiritual in every way, shape, and form. Believed that when you're dead, you're dead, and that was that.
Were you essentially experimenting on prisoners?
No, animals. At the time, I was strictly doing lots of research on animals.
Just
thousands of rats, cats, mice, you name it, but animals. I never gave drugs to prisoners or anything like that, no. And then I went to work within the prison system sometime.
In what capacity?
I ran drug and alcohol treatment programs and then worked for the Federal Bureau of Prisons as a consultant, and then worked in mental health in prisons, and then from 1990 to the present have spread a specific treatment program that I helped design called what's called moral recognition therapy.
Have you seen people like Manson's? I've seen interviews with Manson, and
I've got Manson's MMPI in my office here.
What is an MMPI?
It's a psychological test.
You know, then maybe you could tell me something. With the interviews I've seen with Manson, he is, when you look and listen to him, the closest thing I can personally describe as something that hits me as pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
Pure D evil. I mean, straight down the line evil. Now, maybe he has his better moments, I don't know, but when I've seen him, oh my God, to listen to this man speak, he's in a different world.
Well, they are in a different world. But even these, if you look at some of the pictures of even Hitler, those movies, you see him being nice sometimes to children and animals.
Yes.
In his moments of weakness, Hitler was occasionally nice to children and animals. But I think the essence of Hitler was he chose to be evil. So did Manson. Although in their point of view, it's not evil. Not in their point of view. Now,
I can assure you, boy, watching him, no question about
yeah.
it.
Well, there's a diagnosis of those people, and it's antisocial personality disorder. It's also known as a psychopath and a sociopath. All those terms mean the same thing. And it's on a scale from the most extreme are these serial murderers. They're the worst of the worst. And the worst ones would not Manson, you can tell is evil. The worst ones are the ones that you can't tell they're evil. They pretend to be your friend, and when they get you in a position where they can take advantage of you, it's too late. You'll never see it coming.
Let me tell you, there are a lot of people out there who believe that people of that sort are, and you will not agree with this, possessed by demons.
Well, I don't believe they're possessed by demons, no. I have seen some things that would lead me to indicate that there may be such a thing as demons. But I don't believe they're possessed by demons, no.
Really? Now, you just surprised me. You've done research indicating or leading you to believe there might be demons?
Yes. Within that electromagnet, Carl Jung believed it. Kiel talked about it. I do believe there is.
Okay, fine.
Negative energy forms that take on specific shapes. The Native Americans called them tricksters, and there were levels of tricksters.
And so what do you think is, what's a demon?
They are energy forms designed to mislead you, to make you choose in certain directions, in directions you should not choose.
And
it's like, you know, Edgar Casey's beginning.
And do they have a boss?
Maybe at one end of the... I think they're being pulled by one end of the electromagnetic energy spectrum.
Well, all right. Hold on, Doctor. So close. And it's just that little inch of difference between the good doctor here and fundamentalist. Really interesting. Being pulled, do they have a boss? Well, no, but being pulled by one side. Well, who's directing that side anyway? Not a big difference here. Not a really big difference. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
What will you do if you're lonely? No one waiting by your side. You know it's just your foolish hand. Hey, love, got me high.
Dan Aykroyd since Saturday Night Live, the Blues Brothers, and the House of Blues. But did you know he's got a deep interest in UFOs? You can read about Dan in the February issue of the After Dark newsletter. You'll find out about his interest in the NASA UFO cover-up. And yes, there is evidence that UFO activity has been seen at NASA. Also, read about the future of nanotechnology. Real-life stories of levitation. Find out who tried to levitate the Pentagon. Yes, the Pentagon. It's all in the February issue of the After Dark newsletter. If you haven't subscribed yet, it's a good time to get on board. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505, and you'll get two free issues, 14 for the price of 12. That number again, 1-888-727-5505, or subscribe online at artbell.com. Hit the library link to the secure server to order the one and only After Dark newsletter.
Art Bell welcomes a variety of interesting guests to his program. Some are names you may not know. Others are names you know very well.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Leonard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. We have such a short time that I feel obligated to literally pummel you with questions.
Okay, go.
How much chance do you think there really is that we will be contacted?
There are something like 4 billion stars in our galaxy alone, and there are billions of other galaxies. Each of those stars are potential suns just like ours, and that means that if one out of every million of those stars has planets around, and one out of every million of those has some kind of life on it, then the numbers tell us that the chances are very, very great that there is life out there someplace.
News. I'm Dorothy McIntyre. There are two new pleas for the release of kidnapped American reporter Daniel Pearl.
One plea comes from his wife. The other comes from his employers at the Wall Street Journal. In an open letter, the paper's managing editor, Paul Steiger, begins, "I know the national movement for the restoration of Pakistani sovereignty is very serious and wants others to know about its movement. These pleas are being released because there has been no communication from the kidnappers since last Wednesday. He pleads with the abductors to send the next email to the account of one of Danny's close friends or a private phone line of one of these friends. Daniel Pearl has been missing now for 13 days. Jeffrey Kaufman, ABC News, Islamabad.
Some scary moments for passengers on Delta Flight 1642 last night. It took off from Denver, bound for Salt Lake City. It returned to Denver about an hour later and was evacuated after a suspicious note was found on board. This man was one of the 56 passengers.
One of the agents, undercover agents on the plane, kind of took control, went up to the front, made sure no one was going into the overhead bins, making sure everyone was sitting down. And basically, they got us home, or back here, as fast as they could.
Passengers say the pilot announced the note contained a bomb threat. A bomb threat forced a Northwest jetliner flying from Cancun to Detroit to make an emergency landing shortly after takeoff yesterday. Northwest Flight 1852 left Cancun, returned about a half hour later. The passengers and crew were evacuated safely. The plane was searched. No explosives were found. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill say if former Enron chairman Kenneth Lay won't testify voluntarily, he will be forced to do so. A Senate committee will vote today on whether to demand that Lay appear. You're listening to ABC News.
Did you know that vitamin C does much more than support your immune system? Friends, it's Larry King with remarkable news. Scientists have developed a revolutionary vitamin C called Ester C. Ester C is the future of C. It's a unique, patented, non-acidic vitamin C. I take Ester C every day. It supports my immune system and helps promote the health of my eyes, joints, and cardiovascular system. Ester-C. Don't settle for less. Your body will know the difference.
Ester C. At Vitamin World stores and everywhere vitamins are sold.
Hi there. It's me, your friendly eBay question and answer man. Here's a good question.
I'm naturally wary of my fellow man. How do I know a seller's legit?
While you may be wary of folks in your town, here in eBayville, trusting is a piece of cake. Check a seller's feedback rating to see comments from completed transactions. Then decide if they're worthy of your trust, and more importantly, your cash.
At eBay, feedback ratings help ensure fair dealing. eBay, the world's online marketplace. Happy hunting.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says American forces should apologize if innocent people were killed in that raid 2 weeks ago in Afghanistan. Rumsfeld says friendly forces could have been mixed in with unfriendly forces who fired first. An investigation is underway. Do you need a home heart starter? ABC's Daria Albinger reports the medical community is divided over the issue.
They have them on airplanes, in shopping malls, and casinos, and they've saved a lot of lives. So why not have a defibrillator at home? Some doctors say it's time for it, comparing them to common safety devices like smoke detectors. Others say that's just the point, arguing that a lot of those alarms don't have fresh batteries and that the time spent running to get the device and using it could be spent calling 911. The most compelling argument against it may come from Dr. Arthur Kellerman of Emory University, who says having a defibrillator at home could cause people to ignore less glamorous but proven preventative measures. In his words, why give up cheeseburgers when old Sparky's under the couch? Daria Albinger, ABC News.
A Northwest Airlines jumbo jet turned back to the Philippine capital, Manila, yesterday after having engine problems on its way to Japan. The plane landed safely at the airport. Michael Jordan's wife, Juanita, has withdrawn a divorce petition she filed last month. They will try to reconcile. They've been married for 12 years and have three children. This is ABC News.
In this time of need, the American Red Cross is profoundly grateful for your generous outpouring of support. A long period of uncertainty and recovery awaits us all. Please maintain your resolve to donate blood. Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule an appointment. Please be persistent. The need for blood will continue in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. Together, we can save a life.
I'm Dorothy McIntyre, ABC News.
Southern New England depends on WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Increasing wind overnight, low near 20, wind chill near zero. Tuesday, cold and windy with plenty of sun, high near 30. Tuesday night, clear to partly cloudy and brisk, low 22. With WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather, I'm Reggie Love.
You can depend on AccuWeather at News Talk Radio 630, WPRO. Don Soa's Money Talk, weeknights at 6.
They say money can't buy happiness. Look at the smile on my face. Ear to ear, baby.
He doesn't tell you what to do with your money. He tells you exactly what to do with your money.
I've always wanted money.
Sponsored by Masters and Servant, insurance strategies that protect your business, because nothing's more valuable than peace of mind.
The lure of the lira, the romance of the ruble.
Hear New England's longest-running financial show, weeknights at 6 on AM 630. WPRO.
This is Coast to Coast with Art Bell on WPRO, the Associated Press station of the year for breaking and continuous news coverage. When it really matters, keep it on AM 630, WPRO. Dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
It certainly is, and we're about to go to the phones. That means all of you with Dr. Greg Little. We're talking about Edgar Cayce and what once was here in America and the world.
for that matter. And what once was is not what most archaeologists think is the way it happened. But it just so happens that most of the evidence, if you've been listening carefully tonight, points directly toward another truth, if you can handle it. Increasingly, that truth is becoming self-evident. If you have ever in your life wanted a real downtown, bang-up, first-class, going-to-see-into-deep-space kind of telescope, then the time to listen very carefully would be right now. I have a sponsor on the coast of Oregon, Hardin Optical. And, you know, who knows how long they'll be here. I'm so thankful they're here. But while this opportunity is here, they have two telescopes that are priced for the average person. But, oh, man, the performance of these things. They're 6 inches in diameter and 8 inches in diameter. They're gigantic. They're on wood bases. The only way you can really know how big they are, other than my telling you, the UPS guy probably collects a lot of hernias trying to get them to doors. They're like caskets when they come. They're gigantic. Is to go to their website and look at one of them. They're at forthenightsky.com. That's F-O-R, the night sky, all run together, .com, forthenightsky.com. That's what I recommend.